you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
All right, so I'm going to start talking to you. We're just going to break some ground this morning on this subject, and the title is "Living in Your Land of Promise." Okay, so we're going to be talking about Israel coming into the Promised Land. We're going to be looking at some things out of the book of Joshua concerning that and how they apply to our lives. And again, this morning, I really just want to break some ground. I just want to set a little foundation for what we'll talk about over the next couple of weeks as we get into this. So I just want to begin. You can turn to Joshua chapter 1. We are going to look at a few verses there this morning. But ahead of that, I just want to make a few foundational statements to you. So in the book of Joshua, that's where Moses has just died. He has been leading Israel for these years, coming out of Egypt and through the time in the wilderness. He's been leading Israel. He was a deliverer sent by God to bring them out of 400 years of slavery. Okay, 400 years of slavery. The people we're going to read about were in Egypt, where they didn't worship the real God, and they were slaves in Egypt. They were a people, but you know, I think we'll have to keep in mind as we look at some of the decisions that they made and some of the approach is that they didn't really know God. When they went into the wilderness, when they came out of Egypt through the Red Sea into that wilderness, they didn't know who this God was. And again, God had sent Moses to lead them, and he'd been leading them. And when we get into the book of Joshua, he has died. And Joshua, who was his assistant, is raised up into leadership to actually bring people into the land that they've been promised since the time of Abraham, hundreds of years before. So I really want you to get that picture. The promise from God to Abraham hundreds of years ago. They're about to start taking possession of the promise that was made. And they're going to take possession of it little by little. In fact, back in the book of Numbers, God even talked to him about that. I'm not going to bring you into the land all in one year because you're not strong enough. He says, let alone the people that were living in the land, they said the animals would take you guys out. Okay, so I'm going to bring you in progressively, little by little. All right, and God works that way in our life. As he strengthens us, he brings us into more and more and more of our salvation. But that's where we are, and so there's a couple of things, just some historical. In Romans chapter 15, I think it's verse 4 or 4 and 5, Paul talks to us about the fact that everything that was written in the Old Testament scriptures, everything that had been written, it was written for our benefit. It was written to help us understand who God is. And so that's true of these scriptures that we're going to be looking at. Everything that was written, we can, from a New Testament perspective, look back on, and through the understanding we get now through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we've got the Bible, okay, in front of us, the understanding that we have now, we can look back on those scriptures and we can receive revelation from that. Well, when Moses brought them out of Egypt, God brought them out of Egypt, okay? And there was that deliverance. Remember that we had instated Passover, and they put the blood of the lamb over their households. The death angel came through. Israel's preserved. The people gave them all kinds of gold and silver and stuff, and it says they were thrust out by God. The Red Sea was parted, and they came through. And so that's a picture of the new birth. It is a picture of our deliverance through Jesus coming out of the slavery to sin and the domination of sin. It's an event that happened, but it is a foreshadowing of our experience of giving our life to Jesus, our deliverer, and being set free, coming out of an impossible situation and being established in a new place. Okay, so that's when they came out and across the Red Sea. It's a picture, it's an image for us of the new birth, all right? And for everybody, I mean, I think everybody in here, I know just about everybody, you've given your life to Jesus. And when you gave your life to Jesus, Bible says we just need to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And incorporated in that is that he died for our sins. He died in our place. He was our substitute. And God raised him from the dead. And that raising from the dead shows that the work that he did at the cross was approved by God. It was enough. There's nothing more to add to it. And when we believe that in our heart and we confess with our mouth and we say from our mouth, Jesus, come into my life. I believe you are the Son of God. I give my life to you. And we do that. The Bible says we are born again and we are delivered out of slavery. We are delivered out of the domination of sin. So then they spend 40 years in the wilderness. You guys know this. They spend 40 years working their way through the wilderness. Didn't have to. They just decided, you know, they went and looked and saw some giants who later were afraid of them. But anyway, that's a long story. They saw some giants and came back with a bad report. So they spend 40 years going around in the wilderness. Moses dies. Joshua takes over, and it's time for them to actually begin to progressively take hold of the promise. They come to the Jordan River. We're going to read about it in just a minute. They come to the Jordan River. The Jordan River is at flood stage. It's another impossible crossing, like the Red Sea. Think about rivers. You know, we don't have a huge runoff this year, but it's pretty good. Just think about the power, any of you who have experienced the power of rivers. Here's all these people. They've got to get across this river. God didn't wait for fall. God didn't wait for the water to go down. God didn't throw up a bridge. I'm like a week or two ahead of myself right here, but I love this. He sent them carrying his presence into that water and again split that river, supernatural transformation, and brought them into the promised land. That crossing, that supernatural event, most Bible scholars believe is a picture for us of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is a time where now they're not just in the wilderness, they're out of slavery, but God's just still taking care of them. Okay, when they come into the promised land, all of a sudden now, they're going to be empowered to start taking possession of what he promised hundreds of years before. And that is still the truth today. Jesus paid for the fullness of our salvation. And there are promises, over 7,000 promises in the Bible that pertain to every aspect of human living. And those promises carry the blessing of God, the authority, the power of God. They're there. They are ours. We just sang it this morning. And by the way, she put that song list together weeks ago because of, for one thing, with all the transition going on up here, this is all, anyway. And yet, we sang about promise, and we sang about blessing, and that's what God put on my heart to, and I hadn't even looked at the song list. Anyway, God is good. So, here they come. Now God is empowering them, which is what happens to us when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're empowered to begin to take possession of what already belongs to us. We don't earn it, we don't merit it, but I'll tell you what, we have to take it, okay? Not because God's holding back. It's not God with the promise on the end of a rope, you know, like we do with our dogs, you know, pulling. It's not that. It's there's a devil out there. And there's a devil out there, okay? We have authority over the devil. Actually, when it's the devil, when it really is the devil at work in your life, if you understand the authority in the name of Jesus and the authority he's given to you, You can deal with the devil. You resist him, the scripture says, he will flee from. Doesn't say, well, sometimes on Wednesday at 2 p.m., if you do it just right, he'll flee. No, it says, you resist him, he will flee from you, okay? The harder thing that we have to contend with is our flesh, in my opinion, okay? The old flesh rises up. And a lot of times we just want, you know, we wish we could cast out whatever is tempting us. But as my pastor always said, you can't cast out the flesh. You got to crucify it. Those old desires, those old pulls, those old, whether, I don't care if it's addiction or any, whatever it is, it's in the flesh. The solution is crucify it, okay? We nail it to the cross. We take authority over our thoughts. That's a whole other thing. I just, you know, I want to get across to you that we still live where these people lived. A promise, 7,000 promises have been made. They are ours in Christ. That doesn't mean there's nothing for us to do. When these people cross that river, they all of a sudden had to start fighting battles. They had to start planting crops and reaping instead of food falling out of the sky. Okay, so we're going to look at that. Did you find Joshua chapter 1?
Yep.
I imagine if you wanted to, you did by now. Okay, this, what I have up there is the New King James Version. And so we'll just read these first few verses. Actually, I skipped a little bit there because I couldn't fit it all on your screen. But it says, Moses, this is beginning in what, verse 2? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. I love that because this Jordan is at flood stage. This Jordan is not looking like it wants us to cross. You go over this Jordan, you and all this people. I just got to stop there. You go over this Jordan. Well, God, I think you're saying we're going to wait till midsummer when the Jordan goes down. No, he's not. He's saying we're going over this Jordan. What's sitting in front of you that just won't budge? We're going over. We're going through this Jordan. You and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. I love this verse. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread. It hasn't treaded yet, okay? Will tread. So this is future. Every place that your foot will tread, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. Really, as I said to Abraham hundreds of years ago, okay? I have given, but to get it, you got to tread, okay? Everybody got that? From the wilderness, he gives them the land from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Wow. And then verse 6 says, be strong and courageous because you will lead, okay, future, these people, to inherit the land I swore, past. I swore to their forefathers to give to them. So what I want to do today first, and this may be all we have time for this morning, is just talk to you a little bit about the wilderness and what that was. Because there's so many screwy misconceptions about what that was. And it's important for us to understand what the wilderness was, to understand where we're going in receiving the promises and going into your promised land, the land of all these promises that are yes and amen in Christ, right? So just a few characteristics of the wilderness. That wilderness experience was not a time of God's absence or silence, okay? And that's the way a lot of people use it today. And I'm not just being critical. I think these things are important to understand. When people say, oh, God has me in the wilderness, usually what they mean is I'm not hearing from God, I'm not receiving anything, I'm just kind of, he's just hung me out here to learn something. That's usually what that, it's one of those little Christianese phrases that people use. Well, the wilderness experience was anything but that. They had God's manifested presence day and night. They could see. I believe the wilderness experience was actually a time of, it's like a picture for us, an illustration of pretty extreme spiritual immaturity. And I don't say that critically. They didn't know God. They didn't know this God. They followed him out of Egypt, out into this wilderness, serious wilderness, desert wilderness. They followed him out there and stuff started to happen. There's no food out here. Well, no kidding. You know, there's no food. So God starts dropping their food out of the sky in the form of manna 6 days a week. And then on that seventh day, they didn't have to go even pick any up. They could keep it from the sixth day and keep it through on the Sabbath. And so that food is dropping. Well, then that wasn't good enough. We really miss having meat. We need to go back into slavery, you know. So they're a bit misguided through this time. God starts bringing quail. Can you imagine quail just dropping in? Anyway, that would be some shooting. Quail dropping in. So they've got meat. They've got the manna. Water flowing out of a rock. God made sure they had water in the middle of a desert. But this happened day after day after day for 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out. Some of you would hate that because you'd love getting the new clothes. I'd love it. I'd wear the same thing for the rest of my life. But anyway, their clothes didn't wear out. All of the miraculous, supernatural, and God's presence was manifested in a cloud during the day and the fire at night. They could see it. They didn't have to wonder. They could see it. So there was absolute provision. And this just reminds me of, you know, God was demonstrating and teaching them his faithfulness and his goodness by taking care of them really much the way you would take care of a small child. You provide for them. You don't expect them to provide for themselves. You know, you provide for them. So that's what the wilderness experience was. So to think that, well, God has me in the wilderness, meaning God's not around, I can't hear from him, he just stuck me out here on an island, that's just really inaccurate. That's not what the wilderness experience was. And honestly, for me, I know if I'm having trouble hearing God, I know what's on my end. I know it's on my end because God's faithful. I know he's speaking. Sometimes I struggle with my emotions. I struggle with those different things just like you do. That's why I want to have good friends that can pray with me and you know, help me with that. That's why I just refuse to acknowledge that. I know God's speaking and I approach him as though he were speaking. Okay? So that wilderness time for them was like an introduction to God. You know, I'm your provider. I'm your protector. I will take care of you. And they're getting to know God through all this, but it's not a pattern for New Testament living. We should be growing into a greater maturity than that. And that's what we see as when they go through the Jordan, the manna stops the minute they cross the Jordan River. So think about this. The manna stops. Now they're going to take hold of what God has been promising for 400 and some years. Okay. Now we're going to take hold of that, but we're going to have to do it little by little. There's some great cities. He tells them, you're going to live in houses you didn't build. Well, that's a huge blessing, right? We didn't have to build it. We're going to live in it. Okay. There are cities that you didn't build. There are orchards that you didn't plant that you're going to eat from. Okay, so there's this idea of blessing, but there are also enemies that you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to take hold. And that's what the New Testament tells us. Paul says, take hold of eternal life. And that means to take it violently. Again, we're not struggling with God here. It's given to us. But there's a thief, and there's our flesh, okay? There's a thief. There's the world. There are things we have to resist. We need to grow up and go forward. And that's what's happening as they come into the promised land. A lot of people still kind of function with the idea that if I'm living in the promised land, if I'm living in God's blessing, let's just put it that way, if I'm living in God's blessing, well, then it ought to be totally easy. How many times do you hear, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll just happen. And if God doesn't want it to happen, it just won't happen. Well, there are a lot of things God wills in the earth that we, with him, in partnership with him, in him, have to go and fight for and take possession of. They don't just happen. It could have been that way. God could have decided that we would just be here and he would provide for us. Think how spoiled we would be. Just think what a bunch of spoiled brats we would be. And God would just pour everything out and it would just be la la land. But he didn't. He created us to partner with him. He created, the New Testament talks about us in terms of being adult sons and daughters who are partnering in the Father's business. That's what the word son in the New Testament means, that word weos in the Greek, an adult kid that's taking responsibility and is enjoying the fruit of the Father's business. When they came into the promised land, all of a sudden, no, the manna doesn't fall from the sky anymore, okay? You got to plant. And you got to reap, okay? There's work, but from that work, get this, from that effort comes a multiplied blessing that is supernatural. There, it produces more than it should produce, okay? So when we are walking in the blessing of God, it's not that there's no effort. It's that there's no effort to make ourselves acceptable to God. There's no effort to try to win his favor. That's done by Jesus. But there is effort in walking with him, letting him move through us. Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat, okay, in the New Testament, all right? It says that we have an enemy out there. We're given weapons, okay? Are you with me here? Okay, my point, I'm not trying to make this sound hard. There is, it's like we rest in Christ, in our salvation, and from that rest, we contend for what is promised. Not against God. God's never, ever the problem, okay? But definitely, we have to take hold of the promised land, just like they did. They had to tread, okay? What you tread upon, if you don't tread upon it, you're not going to get it, okay? You're not. In other words, what I mean by that is, unless you walk into it, we're going to see, not today, but we're going to see in chapter 3 of Joshua, the river didn't split until people carrying the presence of God in the ark put their feet in a flooding river. Then it split. People carrying the presence of God. So what's out here? You know, what is going on in our world? Lots of things that you and I are commissioned. This is a privilege. I hope this isn't coming across like, oh man, you guys are going to be busy. No, I don't mean that. Like I said, there's a rest in Christ. There's a rest in faith, but it's not inactive. It's very active, but it's a trust in him. And then we tread. We put our feet on a good marriage. We put our feet on a successful business. We put our feet on anointed biblical friendships, on whatever God is calling us to be and do. You can't just sit back and wait for it to happen. It just isn't the way he designed us. Okay? So, I think I got through most of this. So let me just give you a couple of examples of this. Again, I think that what we see in the wilderness is just an immature understanding of God because they didn't know God. You know, it's perfectly understandable. They didn't know this God. And he was teaching them and he was training them by putting himself, by taking care of them. And I don't mean to say that God never just steps in and takes care of us or saves us from ourselves. He absolutely does as we're walking. We just heard a story the other day. I've only got about 3 minutes, maybe four. We just heard a story the other day about this pastor and his wife that were called, they were younger. They were called to go, I think, San Diego or someplace. I will butcher this story. Don't bug me about it. She can't stand it if the details aren't right. So they were called to go and plant this church, and this other ministry offered to give them a huge chunk of money to go start this church plant. And they thought that was great, and they figured, hey, that's the provision of God. Well, they got to that ministry to sit down, and they had a bunch of papers for them to sign, a contract essentially for them to sign. When he got reading it, that contract pretty much gave this other ministry say over everything in the church that he and his wife were called to plant. He didn't feel good about that. He felt like, yeah, I don't think this is right. He was a young guy. He conferred with several other pastors that he respected. All of them said, I wouldn't sign that. You know, God has something better than that for you. But it was a big chunk of money. So he and his wife decided, we're not supposed to do this. But it was a big chunk of money. So pretty soon he decided, we better do this. And he signed the papers. He went to fax them, and the fax machines smoked and burned up. Okay, and they decided, we're not supposed to do that. Okay, that kind of stuff happens. God takes care of us. He has our back. I'm not saying this is all up to us by any means, but that's not the way what we're supposed to count on. God, I'm just going for what I feel like doing, and you know, block my path. If it's not, you're going to fall off some cliffs doing that. That's we're supposed to be in relationship, in partnership. Okay, does that make sense to you? So I had somebody the other day ask me to pray with them that God would take all their worries away. Well, the scripture tells us, fear not. The scripture tells us, take your thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. God doesn't want us to worry. Worry's just meditating on what the devil says. But he's not going to just take them all away. We do that in him. We ask his help. Holy Spirit, help me to take those thoughts captive. Those are lies. I'm not going to waste my life worrying about that stuff. But it's a battle, okay? But we fight it with the Lord, okay? Take all my worries away. Take this temptation away. Pray, Jesus, just, you know, make the devil stop harassing me. Okay, I've heard that a lot of times. Ain't going to happen till he's in the lake of fire. We are given authority over him. We resist him. The Bible says, you resist him, and he will flee from you. Does this make sense to you? The disciples. Hey, Jesus. There's a whole bunch of hungry people over here, and they are getting grumpy, okay? Do something about it. Feed them, Jesus. He says, you go give them something to eat. They're like, we don't have any food. You go give them something to eat. And then, what does he do? He says, just bring me what you have, and they do. Little kid's lunch. They wrestled that little kid to the ground and took his lunch away, brought it to Jesus, and he multiplied. He gave thanks for the little bit he had, and then started passing it out. And God multiplied that bread. But it wasn't just, oh, okay, sit aside, guys, manna from heaven. They took something that was here, wrestled it out of that little kid's hands. That's what I like to think happened. And so, you know, and the other, and then Jesus took that, okay? So we need, I'm going to wrap this up for today. We're in this place. We have all the promises of God. They're yes and amen in Christ. They've been purchased. They belong to us. Okay? Absolutely. But we are in a position to begin, just like Israel, to go in and little by little take possession of the freedom, the salvation, the healing, the strength, the purpose, all that kingdom stuff that already belongs to us. I don't have to impress God about it, but God and I are going to keep for the rest of my life taking possession of it, okay? Little by little, as he leads, as he guides, but we are going to be a partnership. I don't get to just sit back and let this happen. Yes, I can do that, Kay. Thank you. I might not have made anybody mad yet, so I'm going to say this. Right now, I'm done. Right now, we're in a place as Christians where there are all kinds of things going on around us, in our nation, in our world, that are in opposition to the Word of God, to who Jesus is. They're resisting the movement of the kingdom of God. And we see them, and they bother us. And we need to see those things turn around. But I'll tell you what, if we are seeking political solutions to spiritual problems, we are taking a big demotion, okay? We have been given authority over the spirit behind a lot of the crap that we see out there, okay? We are given authority to take, that's our place. It doesn't mean we can't be involved in all of this. We sure can. But man, we have got to realize, where is our trust? What are we looking at? If you get upset by every one of these crazy things that happens in our political landscape, you need to get your eyes back on Jesus. And you need to be asking, what's the spirit behind that? People are getting hurt by stuff going on both sides of the aisle. Okay, there's just craziness. Our place is not trusting in a political solution. Political solution's never going to address a spiritual problem. But we can address a spiritual problem in prayer, in intercession, in lifestyle, in preaching the gospel, in sharing with people in all of those ways. Okay, got to unhook.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.